Thanks very much for that, Craig Evans. 7-4 and 1 across the line at race number 8 at Shepparton. And it is a very good morning to Matt Stewart and Dan Malecki and all the RSN listeners, because Saturday morning race day, another turbocharged edition. We're only on air for about an hour. We've got about 6 or 7 races to broadcast to you as well. We're going to have a chat to Steph Thornton. We're also going to have a chat to Maddie Raymond, who's looking for her first win at Flemington. We're going to find you winners all around Australia. Maddie, good morning. Good to see you again.
Morning, Miguel.
A great week. Loved you in the chair this week. Some interesting topics that you dissected and discussed really well.
Yeah, it's a thank you for that. It's a big subject, isn't it? The one about what we do if the AFL encroaches right on top of Cup Week and Cox Plate and so on, and everyone's thrown their hat in the ring. It's there are arguments both sides, tradition versus what would you call it, innovation, I suppose. But it's going to go on for a while, but the clock's ticking as well, so decisions actually have to be made pretty soon.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. We'll talk more about that on The Verdict on Monday. Yes. Dan Malecki is back. I shake my head every Saturday morning with Dan co-hosting this program and calling all the action out at Melton. He's done a sterling job so far once again this morning. And Dan, as I say good morning to you, with some trepidation, Matt Stewart is dreaming up some weird and wonderful things for you and your race calls this morning. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning to you, Michael, and to Matt. You turned DJ, you turned the racing station into, it sounded like the old 3XY days. Maybe John Bowden must have had an influence there. It's playing songs all through the week there, Michael. See, the cat goes away and the mice will play.
We got a bit loose towards the end, I've got to say.
I did listen to you and Sharky yesterday, and I don't know what that garbage was that Sharky produced as his song.
I think it's described as Soho Warehouse grunge fringe goth rock.
Well, you won't be hearing that again, that's for sure.
Matty Kamani had one that was just a loose jazz number that we envisaged him with a glass of cognac and a dinner suit. Chris Waller's got homework to do for next week.
I can't wait to hear about Chris Waller's. What type of song would you say Liam O'Keefe, the track manager out at Flemington, would have?
I'd say pub rock.
Would it be pub rock? I was thinking more country and western. What about you, Dan?
Yeah, look, I'd probably go down your line of country and western, don't you reckon? He'd have his headset on while he's out there watering on the track and instructing orders there. Unless it could be something light and classical earlier in the morning.
Wonder if don't tell me there's any relation to Johnny O'Keefe as we say good morning to Liam. How are you, Liam?
Yeah, morning, gents. Matt's definitely on the money there. Pub rock.
Really?
Chisels, covers, that sort of thing.
What's your go-to?
Probably a bit heavier, probably more your AC/DC or Airborne, that type of music.
Bit of akadaka. All right, well, it'll be interesting when you're in the kitchen tonight cooking up a storm with a bit of akadaka and hopefully talking about how well the Flemington track has played today. Yesterday I was listening to you talking to Matty and thinking, well, we're definitely going to be on a heavy surface today, but with no rain overnight, it's improved.
Yeah, it did improve, Michael. However, for the last 3 hours, basically, we've had steady drizzle all morning, so we've just downgraded the track back to a heavy 8. It's only amounted to a few millimetres, but it's just sitting on top of the surface, and if it does keep up throughout the morning, I would expect another downgrade to a heavy 9.
Okay, is there on the radar much rain predicted to continue falling?
There's nothing on the radar, but it is falling with rain, so I gave the Bureau a ring and they've said it's low clouds, so it's not enough to register on the radar, but they've indicated it'll be like this for the whole day, so... unfortunately, we're going to be in for a wet one, so it's certainly going to be testing ground.
All right, rails out 5. You raced there last week with the heavy conditions. Were you expecting them to be getting off the fence?
Yeah, most definitely. The rail move covered most of the wear and tear around the home turn, and then there's just some wear up the inside of the straight, so I think it'll be one of those days where they start on the fence and gradually edge off race by race, and it's just going to be a typical winter wet track.
Where will they go down the straight?
I think they'll go middle to outside. It's fairly fresh ground out there. So, I think they'll come up the middle to outside and then spread out as they meet the circle and spring home from there.
You've just solved one of the great meteorological mysteries, by the way. You know, the radar says it's not raining, but it actually is. So what was your explanation for the Bureau? It's too low to register. Is that their explanation?
Yeah, that's right. He was talking as if it was fairly obvious it was on the radar. And I said, the one I'm looking at, nothing's on there, and he said, the ones that we use, they're too, the is that low that it's actually below where the radars are. So when it shows up that there's nothing there and you're getting this steady drizzle, it means that the cloud cover's so low it doesn't pick it up. So, yeah, unfortunately, it makes it hard to judge what the weather's going to be like during the day when it's like that, but we can only be guided by how the weather is now, and it's pretty wet.
Meteorologists and form analysts and tipsters have similar things. They can make excuses up for everything, can't they? Leave us with a winner, Liam.
I'll go for Yonkers in the first.
Oh, I like it. There's been a bit of mail around Yonkers. I know that CW or CJ Waller gave him a big push yesterday with you, Matty. Good luck today, Liam.
Thanks, guys.
Really looking forward to Living Legends Day today at Flemington, but Dan and Matt, I'm also looking forward to keeping an eye up north because we've got some really intriguing runners at Eagle Farm, a couple of nice races, and it's always great to have a chat to our girl who was slaying them up north, Steph Thornton, who's on the line. Good morning to you, Steph.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed. What's the weather looking like in Queensland today? There's been a lot of talk about the Eagle Farm track. What type of surface will we be on today?
Look, I did a couple of gallops on it on Tuesday morning and I actually thought it felt okay. So I hope I'm right, and we have a bit of an overcast day and hopefully it just races evenly.
So your take on it is quite positive. I guess those that have had a longer history with it, Robbie Heathcote and Tony Gollan and others, are a little bit concerned about not necessarily how it'll race today, Steph, but the ongoing story as we get closer into the winter. But you... You know, your feel of it is quite positive?
Yeah, as I said, I was a little bit choppy but on Tuesday morning, but we were obviously right out wide. I thought up the back and around the corner it felt really nice, and it was just closer to the post that we started to get into it a little bit. But fingers crossed, I guess the biggest thing is it just holds itself together, and if it does that, I think we'll all be okay.
And Steph, what about your chances today? There's a couple that you're on that at decent odds. Reckless Choice, I know, earlier on in the day. Can you give it a push for us?
Well, actually, Boris is on that one.
Oh, sorry.
But I tell you what, he's going really well, so hopefully he can get a winner.
I like this. We'll get the form on both Boris and Steph.
We think you and your brother are interchangeable, Steph, so...
there's one of yours that caught the eye that I saw last start that you rode. Red Steiner made up a huge amount of ground, steps up to the 1800 in race four. Is today the day for Red Steiner?
Look, I genuinely think it is. I've got a lot of time for her. I think she's a really nice horse in the making. She hasn't always helped herself in the past. She's very slow away. She goes right back and hits a flat spot at the 600 and then she really powers home late. But I think up to the 1800 today, back at Eagle Farm, where it's obviously a nice big track, Rex made a couple of gear changes last start, which really seemed to benefit her. We took the blinkers off and put earmuffs on her, and she really hit the line well. So I think she's, as I said, a nice horse in the making, and she'll get every chance today.
You got a good chance.
In the third, right. I was going to say. I was looking at number five. I got my number fives wrong. I was actually meaning to bring up Steph Desert Man, which is race three, number five. Of course, Reckless Choice was race two, number five. So that's where I was going, but it was the one I thought had a good chance, a $5 pop.
Yeah, obviously I've ridden the horse. I think he's last six or seven starts. So I've had a good association with him, and he used to show really good speed last prep. I won two races on him, and this prep he just seems to be playing games. He's an older horse and he knows what it's all about, but he's wherever he lands today from gate two, he's going to get a nice run, and he's definitely got the ability to win. I thought it was a really good run back at the 900 last start. He hit the line really well, and I think he'll show a really nice turn of foot today.
Steph, I'll get to Deep Image in the Victory Stakes, but I know you're a very good observer, and there's a couple of sensational two-year-olds coming through the system up there, Rothfire and Isotope. You're not riding in the Mowat and Shandon Classic, but I know you would have seen a fair bit of these two. Have you got an opinion on the big two-year-old race today?
Yeah, look, I'll definitely sit on the fence, but I think they're both two very nice two-year-olds going forward. Rothfire's obviously been very impressive up to date, and I actually galloped Deep Image with him on the course proper on Tuesday, and I just sat a length off him, and he's certainly very impressive up close. And obviously Isotope, well, she's done nothing wrong up to date. She's kept raising the bar, and I think it'll be a very good match race today.
All right, what about Deep Image for for the man who gave you the greatest endorsement. Did you hear he was singing your praises, Robbie Heath? I'd love to know the inside story of what he's really like to work with, but you're riding his horse Deep Image in the Victory Stakes?
I am. I'm really looking forward to this race. Obviously, the horse ran out of his skin last start in the BRC sprint and just peaked late. I had Tambo's mate covered everywhere bar on the line, and I think he's only going to have improved off that run, and the horse has got a brilliant record at Eagle Farm. So I'm actually quite happy with the draw because he can be a little bit slow away and he still likes to go forward. So we can afford to do a little bit of work because I know he's tough and he's honest, and I think he's definitely going to give them something to run down today.
Steph, best of luck today. We look forward to hopefully cheering you home with a number of winners.
Thank you very much.
You're going to have to come up with something a bit tougher because he's just doing, he's batting us away like flies.
He is a bit. I'm not suggesting that Matt Hill would be as unprofessional as Dan Malecki, but it was interesting that the term rabble rousers was used in a race call from Matt Hill at Ballarat during the week. I have no inside information, but there was some suggestion that there may have been a challenge issued to Matt Hill as well.
Gee, all right. Well, we're starting something here. Race callers around Australia will be quaking in their
boots.
We're
turning them into laughing stocks, these race callers.
Dan Malecki is no laughing stock. Congratulations, Dan. Another challenge accepted and absolutely conquered with ease.
I must admit, you sent a bit of fear and intrepidation when they're scoring up, and I'm getting a word that's coming from Matt. I think if it was anyone else, I'd feel really confident, but I feel like I'm getting into the ring with Mike Tyson. I don't know where the punch is going to come from.
Mate,
all in good fun.
The next challenge will be considerably more difficult than the previous.
Hey, gents, before we get on to look at Living Legends Day today, we're going to have a chat to Bernie Cooper when we get her at the moment, but the first race is 11:15 our time, so she's probably quite busy. The most intriguing runner for mine all day is Canaan. I know you spoke, Maddie, to Chris Waller yesterday. And, look, if he's the horse we think he is, he should just go there and win today, shouldn't he? How good do you think he is? I know you're good mates with Mick Kent, who's in the ownership group. Does Mick spruik him at all? He tends to play things down, doesn't he?
He wears dark glasses on cloudy days, so that'll give you an indication of how much of a spruiker he is. Look, I think there's a sense of... it's an interesting one because they knock back the King's Ransom for the horse. So I don't think any of them would admit it. And certainly Chris Waller didn't say as much when I sort of probed him gently about it. But there is now a lot of pressure on this horse to deliver because they knock back close to $3 million. So that whole backstory is going to sit there for this horse now. And when Chris was mindful of the track, the barrier, it's going to get back. If the track's playing leaderish, you know what it's like when they get back from wide barriers at Eagle Farm. You could be 20 lengths off them if you're not careful. So I think they have a very good horse, but they think that there's a weird equation potentially if the track plays a bit funny and the barrier and all that sort of stuff. So that's why he's the most intriguing horse today, because we're not absolutely certain what we're going to see.
Well, he's going to be a standout in a lot of quaddies and a lot of multis around Australia, and Bernadette Cooper will be there on Sky Racing. We'll be watching to get her thoughts on what he looks like in the parade ring. But Bernie, we're just saying that Canaan's probably the most interesting runner around Australia today. What are your thoughts on Canaan today?
Yeah, isn't he interesting? Well, I'm definitely very excited to see him in the flesh. And more excited, I guess, to see what he does inside the furlong. Certainly his Frank Packer plate win was outstanding, wasn't it? Even his Wyong win was good because he was under pressure such a long way out. So, it's generally thought to be Sin City when you draw out from the 1,800-metre start here. So that's going to make it all the more interesting. Look, he's a genuine backmarker, so he's going to go back. But I guess the question is, does he go straight back out of the gates? Or do they sort of cruise around the mile corner looking to get in? And then if they don't get in, then he's three wide. Is he good enough to still win after that? Time will tell. But you're right, he's the most intriguing runner probably here today. But we've got three terrific feature races, obviously, with Champagne, where we see Ross Fire and Isotope. Of course, there's a few other chances there as well. But for us Queenslanders, it's a bit of a match race between our two star two-year-olds. I'm going the way of Isotope in that race just because I thought 1,200 could be a little bit of a stretch for Ross Fire first up. But looking at him at the track on Tuesday, he's just in magnificent order. So another great race. And then in the feature sprint, which is our Group 2 race today, the Victory Stakes, I'm tipping Deep Image, but there's probably one of six could win it. But he's got such great stats here at the track and bit more fitness edge after his narrow defeat in the BRC sprint the other day. But my special today, guys, comes in race 4. That's Red Steiner.
And we just spoke to Steph Thornton before, and she got some good rides and a few at decent odds today, Byrne. Just your thought, you mentioned Canaan's race, but you know the local horses really well. What's the hardest to beat for him?
I think Prophet is our best local horse, but he's always a victim of tempo in races. So because he's got that inside draw, he's drawn two, and I'm hoping he's no worse than midfield. The tempo in the three-year race looks lapsy-daisy again, with perhaps Super Giant, who led at a very leisurely speed last time out in the Dubin Guineas. So maybe a couple of roughies might take it up to him a bit, but... either way, I think the best of the locals will be Prophet, because I think from that inside draw, he's probably lurking 6th, 7th, 8th in the run, somewhere like that. So, yeah, just fingers crossed our track plays in great order, that's all, guys.
Yeah, do you think it will burn?
I hope so. The Stewards, they put it up a good four, and the Stewards have gone back out because the going stick is saying it's actually a soft 5 around the bend, so that you could see an adjustment to a soft 5, but we're lurking in between them. But it cut out a bit at track work on Tuesday. There's no thatch on this track at the moment. So it'd be like sort of, you know, have you ever dreamt of riding a horse over a golf course? Because that's, that's kind of what it's going to look like.
You mean vandalism, Bernie?
I'm dying to do it, if anyone's up
for it. I was going
to
say, Bernie, have you?
That'll get you suspended, Bernie, doing that.
I know. Probably arrested, more like it. But anyway, I think that's what it looks like. You know, imagine how horses and would cut up a golf course. That's what's going to happen here today. So it might look a little messy, but I wouldn't imagine they'll be getting very far into it.
Bernie, we love getting on every Saturday. We get a little bit more snippet into your life and the way you think each Saturday morning. Good luck today.
Thanks, guys. See you.
Bernadette, it was interesting, we're about to go to Shepparton for the next, but it was interesting listening to Chris Waller with your chat yesterday too, saying that they were throwing up dinner plates, the quad size of dinner plates last start.
Well, that's going to be the other watch for the day, isn't it? The track and the horses on it, yeah.
All right, we'll talk more about that on the other side of this. Craig Evans with the next at Shepparton. Omen punters, unfortunately, late night kebab and red wine fever haven't run 1, 2, 3, 2, and 4 across the line, race 10 at Shepparton. Dan and Maddie, really looking forward to having a chat to Maddie Raymond, because it's a big day for Maddie. Pacadali, she's recently gone out on her own training. I think she's had about 8 starters, already a winner, but to win at headquarters would be outstanding. The way Pacadali ran first up, he's a chance today, and Maddie joins us on the line. Good morning to you, Maddie. How are you?
Yeah, morning, guys. How are you?
Very well indeed. Do you get nervous, or are you just an old hand having worked for Willie Mullins and Darren Weir and most recently Lindsay Smith? Is it a bit different when you're the one who's taking him to the track?
I think that's been a good third of my life up at Flemington, so it's a pretty natural drive up there, but it's definitely the nerves get up a little bit when it's one of your own.
Hey, we'll talk about a bit of the former love of your life, Prince of Penzance, in a second. But just on Pacadali, second up today. Can the 3.5 hour drive be a winning drive for you today from the bull?
Oh, I'd hope so. Make it worth it. But look, he's got a lot of weight to carry again, and the heavy ground isn't going to be in his favour. But he was huge first up at Sandown. Will Rupp coming out of that run. And obviously he had the weight and the wet ground there and tend to get through it all right. So obviously a little bit further today, but he's fitter for the run. And like, it's a decent field. There's some really good horses in there, but he's drawn much better. So, you know, if he can be running in the top 4 or 5, I'd be going home pretty happy, considering he's got a few things going against him there today.
Maddie, one thing about the horse, he always seems to jump really well, and it might have actually brought about his downfall at Sandown. He jumped really, really well, but then got snagged back. When you pick the eyes through the race, his run was outstanding first up.
Yeah, it was huge. Look, T.O. rode him perfectly to instruction. I didn't want him to... I know he jumped well, and obviously he had the wide barrier, but if we asked him to go forward from there on the heavy ground, he just would have had that gut-busting run first up and wouldn't have been much left for down the track and getting here today. So... it was a great ride and a huge run, and, you know, a bit unlucky with the barrier and whatnot, but obviously he probably wouldn't have gotten past Buffalo River anyway. It's a very nice horse, and it's obviously in good form, so Will Rutz with him, and yeah, he should run just as well today, if not hopefully go a couple better.
Gee, you've left Lindsay to go out on your own. Reykjavik and Pakadali pull away in the last 100 and fight it out tooth and nail. What would it be like to beat the old boss on the line?
Yeah, I know. First and second would be all right either way round. look, they're both tough horses. They're both completely different horses, but they'll both put in their all there today. Obviously, Pakadali has to carry that little bit extra weight, but, you know, he should be going quite strong over a mile anyway.
Maddie, we'll ask you in a sec about what it's like starting off at this very difficult time in history as a new young trainer on the block with coronavirus and all the restrictions, and it's already a tough gig. But I read a story in the Warrnambool Standard written 5 years ago, and if people hear the name Maddie Raymond and think, oh, God, I remember that name. You were part of the Darren Weir, Michelle Payne, Prince of Penzance story, and a couple of the lovely little anecdotes from the story were you talking about how you'd love to have alone time with Prince of Penzance down on the beach. It was just you and him and doing your own thing. And there was a quote where you said, I trust that horse with my life. What was the special connection you had with Prince of Penzance?
He was tough. He was probably, he'd run through a brick wall for you if you asked him to. There was not much that kind of fazed him. And, you know, he was his own boss. Him and I had a mutual respect for each other. I couldn't tell him what to do and he couldn't tell me what to do. That was probably his biggest asset, his toughness. He'd had quite a few issues in his career, and he still managed after all of that to come out with a Melbourne Cup. So he's always going to be special. I've been lucky enough to work with a lot of other horses, and, you know, Pakadali is very special to me, but Prince Penzance will always sit there on number one.
I still remember the return to Barry Willock, where Prince of Penzance returned and they got hay bales, all the local ladies with their lunches and the school kids, and it was right on the highway, and all these truck drivers roaring past, probably not knowing that the horse in the hay bales was Prince of Penzance making a personal appearance. Hey, what is it like starting off now? I mean, it's a tough gig, and the world is in a tough situation at the moment. How are you finding the first few weeks and months of your training career?
Terrifying. It's hard enough as it is, I think, and obviously, yeah, at the current time, it makes it that little bit harder. It's completely on my shoulders, so, you know, it's my name out there now, and if things don't go to plan, then it's going to be a strike through my name. So obviously, you got to bear that in mind, but at the same time, I can't really change what I do and what I've learnt, and I'll continue to do it and work hard and hopefully get some results.
Well, Maddie, tell us about the team you've got. I remember you had a winner. Was it Little Angel? Was it a Little Grey, wasn't it, that you had a winner with? Tell us what's happened to Witt and how many you got that you're looking after at the moment, training.
I've just got five of my own. We've been doing a few pre-trainers for Peter Moody, which is good. My partner Paddy Bell and him have a very good relationship. So that's been a really good kickstart to us to get some numbers in. Starting up, obviously, isn't quite easy. Little Angel, she's retired now. She's gone to make some babies. She had a few issues in the wind, and obviously her performance after breaking her maiden there was well below par, so we decided to call it quits on her, and she's gone off to the breeding barn, so hopefully she has some nice progeny coming through down the track. But yeah, so just a small team at the moment, so I'm really keen to. We've just started having them ready to get to the races. I had a nice filly run yesterday at Stall, which we were really happy with her run. Being a first starter there, and yeah, Pakadali, and I've got a couple of young ones coming up too that won't be too far off getting to the races. So.
Well, it's exciting times, Maddie. We wish you all the best with Pakadali. Should we throw him in the quaddie?
Oh, I definitely wouldn't mark him out. You look at his form, and you know, sometimes he's beaten Al Mandan, so you can't really rub him out of any form, but obviously he's got a few things going against him today, so I wouldn't put the house on him, but have a little bit each way.
Good on you, Maddie. Good luck today.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Gee, I hadn't thought of that. He'd be the only horse racing today that has beaten a horse, one of the legends that a race is named after.
Got a race named after it. Now, I've got one. You've given me a heads up here.
Dan, get ready.
No. When you think it through, it's actually a walk in the park, but we're going to do it anyway. The favourite in the next race you're about to call is called Tina Calls. In the call, we want a Tina Turner song.
A Tina Turner song.
Well, if you think of her most famous one, I think this could be introduced quite seamlessly. But so a Tina Turner song, but not her most famous one.
Well,
not simply the best.
You're a Tina Turner fan. Are you a Tina Turner fan, Dan?
Say that 10 times quickly.
Mate. I was going to say, absolutely. I've always thought as Maddie and you, the team together, you two are just simply the best.
So in the call, a Tina Turner song, but not simply the best.
All right. Well, they're getting ready for the next, Dan. I'll let you learn the colours for a second. Maddie, before I throw out to Dan, obviously that race. Django Freeman, I enjoyed your interview with Rob Hickamott, and Gareth spoke to him during the week as well. I think the Apache Cat's going to be an intriguing race. So I'm not... sure why Soce Bond isn't a shorter price favourite. He's not the old Soce. He's flying. Why doesn't he win again today?
Well, that's right. 61 kilos, little horse. I guess the Rejoviks of this world are always menacing, the unknown factor with Django Freeman. Robbie Hickman, not too worried about the wet track today, but I would imagine first up against these fit wet trackers that would present punters with a bit of a problem. I guess against something like Shot of Irish, who gets in with next to no weight and is going to be really hard to run down. Yeah, that's a highlight race. Shepherd, of course, for Moody. Rich Charms back. Quay as well, so there's a lot to look forward to today.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We'll talk about that and try and pick the quaddy coming up soon. In the meantime, Dan Malecki calling at the next at Melton. Gee, if Dan Malecki came back as a horse, how would you describe him? I'd say he'd be a tough... bit touch of class.
Lethargic.
He'd be a good doer, though. You'd need to keep him in work.
He'd be a gross doer.
Yeah, I think he'd be going to the stud ring pretty early, and I know I don't handle wet tracks, so go figure.
dearie me. Well, we know one man who would be a group winner on the track if he was a horse is Ron Duffersey. He'd be a little bit like Brawny Spirit, I'd say.
He'd be a Shetland.
That's not how we introduce our guest here. Good morning to you, Duff.
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hey, you've got a bit of a wet track today. How wet's it going to be up there?
Well, it's a heavy 8. I'd say we're going to be there all day, and there's a chance of little scuds and showers, you know, little mists coming through here and there. So that's the last thing we need. You know, 2 mils of rain on the day is like 20 mils the day before. So hopefully we dodge those little bit of showers throughout the day that, you know, are around the place but not expected to hit.
Back into the carnival, but still there's some intriguing horses going around today, and there's a few who have got designs on the Queensland Carnival. And this two-year-old race, I know it's on a wet track, and we've had a few scratchings. It's still going to be intriguing, especially to see the top two in the market clash.
Oh, yeah. They run very fast time last time. Peltzer beating Overlord there. He's the real go-to horse for the punters today, Overlord, just with that pedigree influence of, you know, the Red Tracer being the mum, one of the best wet trackers we've seen in Sydney. You know, she had 6 starts on the heavy for 5 wins. She had 10 runs on the slow for 4 wins and 4 placings. And this is her son here, and he really captured everyone's attention when he was dragged back from a wide barrier the other day and savaged the line late. So, and in saying that, Peltzer's done a really good job winning his 2 starts, showing that he's adaptable. He can come from behind and lead. So it's a real contest, and no slow coach the bottom one either, Perfect Radiance, who's the form out second and third horses have come out and won at their next start. So that form looks good from Newcastle as well. But all in all, I think it's, for me, it's all about Overlord with the conditions to go today. The price has gone now. It's taken a while. The tab have really, you know, taken him on to a certain extent, listening to the boys at the tab. It's a horrible result for them. So they must like Peltzer a little bit to beat him, but I'm sure the punters don't.
And Duff, it's that time of the year that Chris Waller, when you look back at some of the better or the best three-year-olds that he's had, they've all sort of emerged at this time before they've gone to Queensland. Is he sort of in that mix of the better horses he's had at this time of the year over the last sort of 6 or 7 years?
Oh, no doubt. There's a pattern with Chris. You know, he doesn't push his two-year-olds. He lets them mature. He likes to treat the J.J. Atkins as for his... You know, he's won up with some really good horses in the past, but he's left, I think, a lot of trainers that have done that, and then more are doing it these days. They're left in the lurch there this year. We've got no three-year-old Derby and no Oaks for the three-year-old fillies, and we've got, you know, the J.J. Atkins, there's no sires lead in, it's 1,400. So they're just feeling there mightn't be enough. There's so many nice, you know, late two-year-old, winter two-year-olds around at the moment. So what do? You try and qualify them for something early spring.
Duff, I'm going to throw 3 names at you. that'll mean something to you. They're running at Eagle Farm today. Wild Ruler Canane Kementari. Give us your... make it like a tweet in 160 characters or less. A summation of Wild Ruler Snowden up against the two Queensland stars in the Champagne Classic. Canane, of course, in the Guns Inn. And our old mate in the Victory Stakes.
Yeah, look, start with Wild Ruler. He's just a little aggressive. He doesn't want to, he wants to just switch himself off a little bit. He comes out of, obviously, that strong race Makura won the other day, and Makura's come out and won again, so that's free form strength. Look, I think he's got a chance. I'd be more interested in Bailix here. He was a horse I loved from the two-year-old trials. I know he was beaten in Breeders' Plate and then beaten first up, but he's a horse that's needed time, and if there's an upset in that race, Bailix more so than Wild Ruler for me, although I do think Isotope's going to be off, could well be off and gone there. Canane, well, I think they're nervous about this Weagle Farm track today. There must be bad vibes coming. You know, I think Chris keeps saying, oh, the track, if they're throwing dinner plates up and they're coming from back in the field, he's going to be back last, it could make it hard for him. But he's a star. He is a star. He should have been an old mate there. Softy.
Throwing dinner plates. You know. It sounds like a Greek wedding, Duff.
Yeah. Kementari is a lot better suited today because he gets speed, not in a slow race. But how could you come at him? You know, he'd just be disappointed. I've been falling for him. So, no, he can win without me today. Then the social media will go into meltdown if he wins.
Oh, you've broken up with him. Gee whiz. leave us with your best then at Randwick today, Duff.
Look, the price is gone, but I do think Overlord will win. Have something each way, and Liz Doom-Varner in the last at double figure odds. She loves it wet. She comes back from a couple of benchmark 88s to a 78. Hopefully she finds the right part of the track. She'll run well in the last. She's carried big weights well in the past as well. So I thought she had a best value runner of the day, put it that way.
Good on you, Duff. Good luck today.
See you, guys.
We'll see Ron Duffercy on Sky Thoroughbred Central. Adam Kirkpatrick, we're off to Murray Bridge today after what was a super carnival in Adelaide. And Adam Kirkpatrick from the Race Club joins us. Morning, Adam.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Very well indeed. What's the best at Murray Bridge today?
I reckon we can kick off in the first, mate. There's a horse called All Bands, Richard Jolly Stable, Toey Goes On. It's jumped out like a bomb. It sort of it shot straight to the front and just extended. And it was still strong and going away from them. So that's impressive for a two-year-old. I think the main danger to it is Miss Merino, which is a Stokes horse. That lets down from the back in a jump out. But I think with these two-year-olds, you always want to be up there. And I think this will just extend away from them. So we'll kick off, hopefully, with a winner there. It's about $2.10, I reckon. So it'll be the best to kick off with.
Race one, number five. What do we parlay that into?
You too. I think we can go either, if for the safe plays, you can go the place for Marley the Hero in race six. But I'll actually play it each way. I think this is another one that's jumped out really well leading in. Surfed goes pretty well, just a small stable. But there's a bit of speed there, and he just parks just off them. And I think he'll be one of the strongest ones. But it's a good race. There's horses like Cincinnati and Lacani Rose coming out of black type races. But they're drawn out, they'll be back, giving him a bit of a start. So I think Bramazi the Hero at each way odds is a good play.
Hey Adam, just a quick word on Murray Bridge. Most Victorians and interstaters aren't accustomed to seeing Murray Bridge on a Saturday, but it's been an enormous success, the new track, since it came into being about a year ago. So just a word for punters who aren't familiar with betting at Murray Bridge on a Saturday.
It's phenomenal. The jocks have come in, it's still like carpet since they've done it, since inception. So it's a beautiful open track. You come out the chutes for the sprints and come into the big home straights. Roomy. Horses still get caught there. I don't know how, but it's just a nice big roomy track, and every horse gets their chance. So you can back them from anywhere. It's like tempo's the deciding factor, really. So yeah, they've done really well there. It's fantastic.
Good luck today, Adam. Race one, number five, into race six, number three, each way at Murray Bridge today. They're getting four in the last at Shepherd and Dan. Matt, we've got about a minute and a half before we get to Matty Hill for the preview. It's been a rapid-fire morning. Dan, give us your early quaddie for all the RSN listeners.
Okay, I'll... simplify it by saying I like Quay Quay, best of the day, race two. So one out, first leg, number one, Quay Quay. In the second leg, this is a really good race for the fillies. I've put in numbers 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 13. In the third leg, 8, 9, 11, 12. And in the fourth leg, numbers 4 and 5, He's a Fox and Turidan. So for 100%, that would come to $56. There is a late scratching through, guys. Race 3, number 15, Strutessa.
All right. Race 3, number 15. Good calling tonight, too, Dan. If there's a best bet out there, let us know.
I will, mate. I think Orlando Storm, race 3, horse number 5 at Melton tonight.
All right. Good on you, Dan. You've slated again. We'll catch up with you next week. Matty.
Glad he put Barbie's Fox in race 3. He was over the odds. They found it now, but he's got a massive chance. I'm a skinny man here, Michael. We're going to back my judgment in the first leg of the quaddie, race 6. Milwaukee, number 7. And I really, really like number 10, Miss Ayano, today. Hopefully the outside
you
of the
love
straight
Miss
is...
Ayano. You had a crack at Warrnambool.
I have another crack today. So 7 and 10 drawn out in the first leg of the quaddie. I'm skinny in the second leg as well. I think it's down to Aussie Nugget and Duke of Plumpton, 10 and 15. A little bit wider. I'm going to cop Matty Raymond's little tip there. I'm going to throw Pacadali in now. 1, 2 Sosie Bon, 4 Regivic, 5 Django Freeman, even though I'm half potting it, 7 Mr. Marathon Man, 13 Shot of Irish, 14 Chirossa, that Gordon Richards, you can never leave him out. Hilo, number 1 in the last leg, 4 High Stranger, 7 Can't Be Done, Value, 8 Marshu, 11 The Astrologist, and 15 Lombardo. So skinny, skinny, wider, wider. Bit of value there as well.
I like it. We'll put both Matt's and Dan's quaddies out on the RSN Twitter feed. If you haven't taken down those numbers, we can follow them there. Matty, good work during the week. Good punting today. Have you got a weird, wonderful multi that we're following?
Golan Golan, the two feature aces in Brisbane, Miss Ayano, and I've had a little something on Mr. Marathon Man.
Okay, I like it. Punters, good luck today. It's going to be a great day out at Flemington, Living Legends Day. I'm intrigued to see how Canaan and the good two-year-old go up north as well. Time for the best in the business, along with Dan Malecki, Matt Hill's preview of headquarters, and then after that, John Henry will take you through a day at the races.